We come now to outcome 4.6. Describe the roles of husbands and wives in nurturing faithfulness and love in marriage and family. In the book, The Battle for the Family, George C. Scipione reminds us that God created a family. He did not start with a church, a government, a business, or a voluntary organization. He started with a family, a husband and wife who were to rule over the creation and procreate. These godly offspring were to start new families and spread out to fill the earth. All other societal organizations were present within the family in germinal form and developed out of the family to become separate entities with their own jurisdictional authority. However, such structures cannot replace the family. It is God's basic building block with which He builds nations, governments, churches, business enterprises, charitable institutions, etc. The centrality of the family lies in its unique nature and function. Nothing can replace it. In His infinite wisdom, God created the family. It is not a man-made institution. Anyone who ignores, bypasses, or tries to reconstruct it rejects God's plan, and those who try to replace it will fail. To fight the family is to do battle against God Himself. The rebellion against God always leads to death, for cultures as well as individuals. Whole cultures perish when they ignore or tamper with God's design for life. Wow, what a statement. That says it all. So we definitely need to do all we can to preserve the family. And that is why this outcome is so important. What does it mean to nurture faithfulness? The Cambridge Dictionary defines nurture as to take care of, feed, and protect someone or something, and faithfulness as the quality of being faithful to someone or something. So the outcome asks students to grow and take care of their steadfast commitment to their spouse and family and their love for them. Because this is a lifelong commitment, it requires that we work at it and not let it waver in any way. To do that, we need to see what the Bible says about it. In Malachi 2:13-16, God stands as a legal witness against the men of Israel, says Scipione, and calls them covenant breakers. But in Proverbs 2:16-22, the adulterous woman is described as one who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Therefore, says Scipione, to break covenant with a spouse is also to break covenant with God. In simple terms, when you marry someone, you are making a lifelong covenant with them and with God. The next biblical principle is beautifully described by Bill Mills in his book, Delighting Each Other, The Power of Joy and Satisfaction in Marriage. Our Father wants the pleasures that we experience in relationship with Him to overflow into our relationships with one another. He invites husbands to delight in their wives. Proverbs 5:18-19 says, "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." What does it mean to delight in someone? For a husband, it means that all of his affections and desires are nourished and satisfied through his relationship with his wife. In other words, she has no competition for his affections. We should also carefully follow the instruction to believers in Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The next important principle is found in Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Mill says, one of the most important commitments any couple can make is to deal with their anger quickly and never end their day still angry with each other. Do you wonder why this is so important? What will it hurt if we leave a few disagreements unresolved until tomorrow? It will hurt us because of the nature of anger and the strategies of our enemy. Why do we struggle with anger? Because when we're angry, it feels good. When we're angry, we continually remind ourselves how right we are and how wrong our spouse is. And that feels good. But then Satan takes our anger and begins to slander our wives or husbands in our minds and hearts. He begins to lie to us about their character and their motives. Before long, our anger turns into resentment and bitterness, and Satan is celebrating another victory. Paul's counsel comes right from the heart of God. Do not give the devil that kind of foothold.